Church.
Good morning.
It's so good to see all of you this morning on this seventh Sunday after Pentecost, and we're glad that you're here today, and we want to welcome all of you. And a little bit later on, we will be continuing in our series, and we're going to be dealing with David and Goliath once again. And we want to welcome everybody and welcome those that are listening online and that'll be tuning in. And so let's begin by standing and joining our Gloria Patria. Join together this morning for our call to worship in the bulletin. Come, beloved, from busy summertime days. Come, beloved, whether weary or rejoicing, whether at peace or in the midst of struggle. Come, beloved, and worship the one who is worthy. Well, let's join and do that this morning. If you're turning in your hymn book, it's 430, Victory in Jesus this morning, the three verses. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. To victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond. Together this morning for our opening prayer in the bulletin. God of hope, you are the light for our minds, strength for our service, and rest for our souls. Nourish us with your presence and word so we may grow in Christ and live in your love. Amen. Well, you may be seated this morning, and I think maybe we might just hold off on the kids thing this morning. And so we're going to go to our time of prayer this morning. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning. Yes.
Dex's best friend Drew, his mom is having a lot of problems and had some biopsies. His mom's name is Frida.
Frida, thank you. Yes, and that can be a very nerve-wracking and anxious times. Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. So we want to remember Frida this morning in our prayers. Somebody else. Yep, go.
This is Pam Everly. She's a customer of mine, and she's going through some pretty serious digestive issues.
Ooh, okay. So we want to remember Pam. Right? Yeah, Pam. Yeah. All right. Some more. Keep going down along that side. Yeah, Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
I'd like to have people remember my dad.
What?
People remember my dad, Merwin Union Prince. Birthday's today.
Oh.
He's been 93.
Marvin. Thank you for sharing that. Many of the wooden... The windows all on the fellowship hall on that side, he put those all in by hand. Yeah, so many things he did. Thank you for that. Yeah. Somebody else. Yep. Yeah. You said Lori. Is that what you said?
Gloria.
Yeah. Oh, is it Gloria? Okay, sorry. Change. Try to catch up here. Yep, we want to remember Gloria this morning. Another hand. Yep, go ahead. Okay. Tom, did you have your hand up back there earlier? Oh, I thought you did. Okay, let's go over here because I saw him over here too. Go ahead. Boyer, that's right.
From First Church, and she came here for
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Yeah, so we want to remember the Boyer family with the loss of that loved one.
Unspoken for us.
Yeah. Somebody else? More? Yep.
From the prayer chain, we've been praying for the Brian Freeze family. He passed away. And then Greta, with all her problems, broke her toe. We're still praying for Ellie and Greg and Linda and Jillian. That's Barney and Priscilla's son. And then we want to keep Esther in our prayers. America, the world, the war.
Okay, so there's, I got about half of that because you went way fast. Who was before Bretta?
The Brian Free family.
free?
Yeah, okay. Free. I don't know who put that one.
That's fine. I just needed to know it's the free family. Yeah. So for Bretta, Ellie, Linda, I thought you said, and I missed the name in there. Oh, Greg. Okay. Okay. And then I saw... Go ahead. Yeah. What was that? Yes, very much so. Yeah, and we definitely want, I know they're, both of you guys are on our monthly list, and but we can definitely continue to pray for Shauna. Someone else, yes?
Let's pray for the loss of our senator that passed away this morning.
Somebody else?
I just want to second Jason's gratitude for all the prayers, texts, concerns. I greatly appreciate it. And I wanted you to hear it from the horse's mouth, because if it were Jason presenting, we would have no water and no electricity and operating our garage door by hand. But... although I've never been in a situation, this is what I think it's like. You get pulled over by a police officer, they give you a speeding ticket. You either have a choice to pay it or go to court. So I'm thinking this is like a ticket, and all of my documentation is now with my attorney, and he will be reviewing it and sending it into the state. He does not think this is anything that the state would pull my license for. It might just be like a check when they pull up my license number that I've been investigated before. Fingers crossed that all that goes well. And then every educator, every person in education has until July 10th to tell their employer that they are not coming back. So hopefully this week, because Friday was the 10th, there will be more openings in the area of speech therapy in the surrounding area. So prayers that there will be more openings this week. Also, the reason I didn't get the other job, and this could be a part of the prayer also, is because I'm very expensive. I have a lot of experience. I have almost 25 years of experience, and I'm very expensive. And districts often choose somebody that is cheaper. It's a business decision. Again, I appreciate all the prayers. Keep them coming. Hopefully something is going to open up soon. And then, like Jason said, hopefully like the beginning of August or so, we'll know a little bit more from the state. So I appreciate it.
Somebody else.
I should have just said it while I was up there.
Yeah.
My sister is waiting to hear whether she can have surgery from a specialist at Cincinnati Hospital. And they're going to go in and remove the lymph node, but because of where it is, it's precariously placed. And so there has to be a specialist come in and do that. She'll have surgery at Miami Valley, but we're still waiting to hear from that. So great prayers that doctor will agree to do the surgery. And then also the Osteen family, Jennifer McHouston, who's been a longtime teacher at Miami East, a first grade teacher. Her father passed away. Osteen family.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Somebody else? Anybody else this morning? Yep.
I'm so glad to be back. And we had, the last night of our trip, we should have been home on Thursday. Thursday. We were fogged in New York City and had a really horrible, scary night there. And I prayed all the night, please get us home. And we got out the next morning. So I can't tell you how horrible it was all. But everything else was great. But the last night just was terrible. But God is in New York City, so it's okay.
Yes, yes. God is everywhere. So, yeah. Yeah, he doesn't abandon us wherever we were. I remember when my daughter was 16 and got held overnight because of bad weather in Amsterdam. I did not get much sleep that night, I can tell you that. Yeah, so coming back from France. So I saw another hand. Go ahead. I think it was Nancy. Yep. Okay. All right. Any others this morning? Okay, well, there's lots of names on the list and lots of needs to pray for. And so I hope some of those names you'll mention to God during the time that she plays. And then I'll come and close us out. And any needs that you could not mention that you would like to lift up to God this morning. So. Lord, as we pause this morning, we want to thank you for your faithfulness. We remember all that you have done for us in the past. And we thank you that it brings faith and hope into our hearts as we remember what you've done for us, what you've seen us through, how you've answered prayers. Now that for those that are in need right now, presently, and what some of the folks that were mentioned today that are in need of your grace and your strength and your healing and answers and open doors and other things that we don't even know about. So Lord, we lift up each one of these names today for Frida this morning, for Pam this morning, for Gloria this morning, for Bretta this morning, and Ellen and Linda and Greg and Shauna and Don and Jill and Jody. Lord, we thank you that you can make a way where there seems to be no way. You can open doors that seem to be shut. You can provide windows. You can bring healing touch and grace. You can bring strength. You can use doctors and medicine. And we're thankful for all of those things. And we ask that you would work. Grant grace, grant strength and faith in the midst of all of these situations that each one is facing in their lives today. Bring healing as only you can do. Lord, we lift up the Osteen family, the Graham family, the Boyer family, the Free family, God, each one of these families this morning, Lord, that have lost loved ones. And we ask that you would grant grace and peace in those situations and give your comfort. Thank you for friends and family that come along in those times that are there for us. And Lord, maybe there are some that came in today and they're facing something, or somebody that they love and care for dearly is facing something that they could not share. We ask that you would minister and extend your grace into each of those, including the five unspoken needs this morning. We ask that you would move and work in each of those, and we thank you for that. We continue to pray for peace in our world. We continue to pray for grace and strength for our nation. And we pray for our community, God. Lord, all our neighbors, the towns, the cities, God, we ask for your grace that you'd pour out your love and spirit in a special way upon people's lives. We thank you for that. We thank you that no matter what we're facing, that we can trust in you and rely on your strength and not our own. So we give you thanks for all of that. And we ask that your blessing would be upon the rest of this service. Lord, as we break the bread of your word, as we've been looking at different folks in Scripture that clung to hope and gained wisdom in the midst of all of that, and strength in the face of great giants, great obstacles, great odds. And in the midst of that, God, you showed yourself to be an even greater God. And so we give you thanks for that today and ask your blessing. We ask that you would continue to give traveling mercies to those in our congregation that are on vacations and traveling for the weekend or whatever it may be. Continue to watch over them and bring them back safely to be with us. We thank you for all of these blessings and what you do in our lives. And so we thank you now as we ask it all in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Give thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you so much for praying with us this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. Again, thank you for your faithfulness. However you give each month, whether you do it weekly or every other week or once a month, however that is, thank you so much. And so as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Thank you. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Generous God, may this offering we bring serve your purposes and your promises and be a channel of peace and love in your world. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And thank you, Carla. I cannot remember the name of that song right there, but when you got to the one line, I started to cry. And I thought I was done, and then you came around and played that line again, and I cried. I knew I had heard it before, and wow. Well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from 1 Samuel 17 again. We're going to kind of keep on going there. We had left off, I think, verse 37. We were reading odds and end verses last week. And wanted to finish up that chapter there, looking at David and Goliath. So let's continue there, 1 Samuel 17, 38 through 50. Then Saul dressed David in his own gear or armor, putting a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David strapped his sword on over the armor, but he couldn't walk around well because he had never tried it on before. "I can't walk in this," David told Saul, "because I've never tried it before." So he took them off. Then he grabbed his staff, chose five smooth stones from the stream bed. He put them in the pocket of his shepherd's bag and with sling in hand went out to the Philistine. The Philistine got closer and closer to David, and his shield bearer was in front of him. When the Philistine looked David over, he sneered at him because he was just a boy, reddish brown and good looking. The Philistine asked David, "Am I some sort of dog that you come at me with sticks?" And he cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said to David, "and I'll feed your flesh to the wild birds and the wild animals." But David told the Philistine, "You're coming against me with sword, spear, and scimitar. But I've come against you in the name of the Lord of heavenly forces, the God of Israel's army, the one you insulted. Today the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will feed your dead body and the dead bodies of the entire Philistine camp to the wild birds and wild animals. Then the whole world will know that there is a God on Israel's side. And all those gathered here will know that the Lord doesn't save by means of sword and spear. The Lord owns this war." Or in our more familiar translation, "The battle belongs to the Lord. And he will hand all of you over to us." The Philistine got up and moved closer to attack David, and David ran quickly to the front lines to face him. David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it, and it hit the Philistine on the forehead. The stone penetrated his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. And that's how David triumphed over the Philistine, with just a sling and a stone, striking the Philistine down and killing him. And David didn't even have a sword. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word this morning, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us. Amen and amen. Well, a three-year-old boy opened his birthday present from his grandmother. He discovered a water pistol. He squealed with delight and headed to the nearest sink. The mom was so displeased. She turned to her mom and said, "I'm surprised at you. Don't you remember how we used to drive you crazy with water guns? Grandma smiled and then replied, I remember. I remember. I remember. Yes. Wisdom for facing overwhelming challenges this morning. You know, there's nothing quite like the drama of a come from behind victory or a photo finish win, the most improbable of victories. As I noted last week, each of us face giants in our lives. Some giants wear faces of illness, grief, depression, financial hardships, broken relationships, addiction, anxiety, uncertainty about the future, and we could just keep on going, couldn't we? The question is not if giants will come, the question is how we will respond when they do. Last week we considered how giants are real, because they inflict fear, they magnify our problems, and they fuel our fears. But we also consider how important it is for us to remember God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. Since every victory God has given us prepares us for the next giant and builds confidence. So today, as we continue, we're going to pick up some of the next parts of this wisdom that we will continue to see before David experiences this victory that God gives him. So number three this morning, number three, as we move right through the outline from last week, don't wear someone else's armor. Don't wear someone else's armor. What are we supposed to do in that situation? What are we supposed to do? We are to utilize what God has already given and developed in us. You know, if you looked at that, and we read it there this morning, Saul offered David his armor. I mean, hey, it makes sense. It's the king's armor. It's got to be the best in the nation. Surely that's going to help. But David immediately took it off and said, I can't even walk in this. It doesn't fit me. It's not what I'm used to when I go out and face things in life. In other words, he hadn't trained with it. We touched on it a little bit last week, and we see it again. David understood, because God had given him victory over lions and bears out on the sheep, when he had the sheep out looking for pasture. And David knew that he didn't feel comfortable in this. It just didn't feel right. And so he took it all off and he just grabbed a hold of what he knew. He chose what God had already taught him to use in life. His sling, 5 smooth stones, and his staff. What has God taught you to use in life? What do you depend on when things go awry? When giants arise? When fear tries to be overwhelming? What do you use? What do you remember? What do you, or maybe who do you turn to in those times? Utilize what God has already given, develop in you. And I'm going to talk a little bit more along with that, with this second part of that. And that is, God has equipped each of us uniquely for our battles. Sometimes we compare ourselves to others. Man, if I could just sing like so-and-so. Or if I could just speak in front of people like so-and-so does. Or if I could pray like so-and-so does at church. Or if I could lead like somebody that I know. And on and on and on and on we can go. I've caught myself in that trap at times. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans, I think it's chapter 12, that each member of the body of Christ has different gifts. We already have them. They're a part of us. And each of us have different gifts, and they're given to us according to the grace given to each of us. So each of us has, if I could say it this way, we each have grace in a specific way in our lives to face what we're specifically facing in that moment. And then those gifts that we already have that are there with us. And Paul even talks about how we each have the armor of God. He says, put it on. Put it on, you know. Like every day, so to speak. Because that's what we need for our battle. So God has already given those things to us and already prepared us in various ways through life. I do believe that some of the things we face when we're young or a teenager or a young adult or wherever you're at in life helps us to face things further down the road. And here's the thing I want you to see is the same God who prepared David with sheep prepared Moses in the wilderness, prepared Joseph in the prison, prepared Paul in Arabia. Now, you may not know that, but there's a little verse. I think it's like verse 3 of chapter 1 of Galatians that says after he had encountered the risen Christ on the road to Damascus and he was blinded, it says that he was taken with Cornelius, and Cornelius took care of him, and then God healed Paul's blindness from that great light of Christ that he saw on the road to Damascus. And then it says that Paul went away for 3 years to Arabia, and we're not told any more about it. Many scholars think that Paul was maybe trained and equipped and learned about Christ and who he really was, or how Peter was prepared on a fishing boat. Can you imagine? You see Jesus come walking on the water, and Peter says, "Bid me to come, Lord, let me come." Peter steps out on that wave. And the gospel writers that record that all say that Peter walked towards Jesus, but when he took his eyes off of Jesus, Peter began to sink because he became afraid. All of these ways. And we could probably stop right here and let each of you talk about things you faced and gone through and how each of those situations have prepared you to trust in God to get through whatever came your way, or maybe you saw the connection, how what you faced when you were in your 20s helped you in your 40s, or whatever you want to say. Don't despise ordinary seasons. God often prepares us during such times for extraordinary victories. Don't wear someone else's armor. Fourth thing is remember the battle belongs to God. Right there at the end, David speaks those words out. What do I want you to see in this? We don't fight alone in life. We don't fight alone. We have God, and our trust and faith in God changes everything. David's greatest weapon wasn't his sling, even though he was comfortable with it. It wasn't those stones that he found in the waterbed. It wasn't his staff that he used to use to lead and guide the sheep, even though he felt comfortable with all those things. It was his trust and confidence in God. Let me reread what David says to Goliath. "You are coming against me with sword, spear, and scimitar, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of heavenly forces, the God of Israel's army, the one you've insulted. The battle is the Lord's." Powerful words there in that moment. He knew who was with him. He knew who was with him. And that same God, as we saw last week, that brought him through the lions and the bears, is the same God who was with him facing Goliath in that moment. But there's a big difference between the bear and the lion and this giant of a fellow who was decked like a tank, as we talked a little bit about last week, who spewed words of psychological warfare against him and the children of Israel and King Saul. And it says that all of them were afraid. It was his faith and trust in God that saw him through. And launching off of that, think of it this way. Faith doesn't deny reality. Faith magnifies God. That really struck me this week when I was looking at that. David never thought or pretended that Goliath wasn't dangerous. Faith isn't some, when we're truly in faith, we just deny what's really going on around us. No, that's not faith. Faith doesn't deny reality. Faith simply recognizes that God is greater than our giants. And I told you last week, that was a hard sermon to preach, knowing what Jody and I are facing right now. And when I was working through this week, I was like, oh my gosh, Lord. I got to trust. I got to have faith. And thank God for people that come along, that God in that moment gives the supernatural gift of faith that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12. And they speak words of faith into our lives in that moment when we're struggling the most. Two people did that right after the service last week and spoke to me. And when I was thinking about it, it was like this voice popped in my head and said they were exercising the gift of faith in that moment for me. Faith recognizes that God is greater than our giants. Giants are big. God is bigger. Our problems are real, but God's power is greater. The obstacles may be enormous, but God can open doors, break barriers, and grant grace and strength through it all. Faith doesn't deny difficulties. Faith magnifies God. And that's what David did in that situation. The God of the armies of heaven. The God of the armies of heaven. David didn't even see that only God was with him, but the armies of heaven were with him in that moment. So where does that lead us then in all this? Trust in God's strength and not our own. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Everything since we were little and first started walking has taught us, pull up your boots. You know, it's about you. We fight, God gives the victory. David fought, God gave the victory. These two truths always go together. God doesn't ask us to just sit on our loins and do nothing. Remember, we fight from a position of victory and strength. We follow, God empowers. We move, God works. We trust, God provides. What giants are you facing today? Perhaps yours is a prodigal son or daughter, a severed relationship, a loneliness that you just can't get rid of. Depression, anxiety, a frightening diagnosis, mounting bills, retirement uncertainty, grief, spiritual drought, addiction, fear of the future. Whatever its name, it's not bigger than God. The elder John wrote these words, "Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world." Christ is greater. Christ is with us today. The same God who stood with David stands with us today. The battle belongs to the Lord. So gather your stones. Though your giant is big, God is infinitely greater. Amen and amen. Well, let's prepare our hearts this morning to share in communion. And as we often do that, we join together with our prayer of thanksgiving and confession. So let's pray. If you would like to join with me, let's pray this morning. Holy One, we incline our ears towards you, but the currents of the world and challenges of daily living pull us away. Keep us grounded in your promises, purposes, power, and presence. Meet us at your table and reorient us on our journey of faith so that we may receive your gift of transformation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. May God grant us grace, forgiveness, that strength and transformation as we've called upon Him and made our plea this morning. And as we share at the table, amen, amen. Well, I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses that are coming to help us out this morning, if they would make their way. The table is open for all of us to receive from the Lord today. Thank you. disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake this morning. Later, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake. The Apostle Paul said, "As often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." Well, take a few moments and greet one another. You can kind of move your communion cups to the center there and they'll collect them. Shake a few hands and then we'll close out there with that chorus. There's something about that name. Would like that.
I got that at Cracker Barrel.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. 175 as we close out there this morning. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that. Oh, let's sing it again. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Well, let's join together for our benediction in the bulletin. Go forth and remember God's faithfulness.
We are secure.
May the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the fellowship of the Spirit sustain us always.
Amen.